In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In this sermon, I'm going to talk about three things from the reading that stuck out to me. The elder. Why does John introduce his letter in this way, introduce himself as the elder? The elect lady. Why does John refer to the people he's writing to in this way? And finally, the central confession contained in this letter. Jesus Christ comes in the flesh. And it sounds like I've just laid out the outline of my sermon, and I apologize, I haven't. I'm going to talk about all of these things at the same time. So if there's any confusion, just see me at coffee and we can talk about it. For now, the elder to the elect lady, Jesus Christ comes in the flesh. Please pray with me. Lord God, send us your Spirit to open our hearts to hear your words, so that our faith would be strengthened, hope would be awakened, and love for you and for one another would be rekindled through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and that's what made John the elder. And it's what made the recipients of John's letter the elect lady. John calls himself the elder, and by this time in Christian history, Christians have been using this term already, which came out of Judaism. But I think it means something special with John. John is the elder of elders, you might say. I'm reminded of what John writes in his first letter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John is a witness to Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. But more than that, Jesus comes in the flesh of every believer. John calls the churches that he is writing to the elect lady. He uses the word kuria. This is the feminine counterpart of kurios. The lady belongs to her Lord. Jesus Christ came in the flesh to unite himself to humanity. And the one flesh union of a husband and his wife is a picture of Christ's union with his church. Jesus comes in the flesh, then, and he leaves eyewitnesses to give their testimony. Jesus Christ comes in the flesh and unites himself to mankind, so that whoever believes in him and receives his word into them and allows it to take root and bear fruit, they also are part of his body, and he lives in their flesh. It's as members of Christ, it's as the elect lady, and it's as witnesses of Christ coming in the flesh that I want to exhort you all today to boldness. Not just boldness in your witness to others, although that is important and that comes. But this morning I want us to think about our boldness in the things that we say to God. Jesus Christ coming into the flesh, into your flesh, changes you. It changes death into life. It changes blindness into sight. It changes leprosy into cleanness. Read the gospel stories. What happens when Jesus Christ comes to a place in the flesh? The dead are raised. Demons are cast out. The lame walk. The blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, You have this promise in your own flesh. So be bold to your Heavenly Father. He wants you to pray to Him. You could pray like this. Lord Jesus, you came in the flesh to this earth and cast out evil spirits. Since you live in my flesh, cast out every evil thought from my heart. Deliver me from my mental anguish. Lord Jesus, you came in the flesh to this earth and gave hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute. Since you live in my flesh, open my ears to hear your words afresh and to understand your will. And through that hearing, give me good, rich, and edifying things to say. Lord Jesus, you came in the flesh to this earth and you cleansed lepers. Since you live in my flesh, purge me of everything that is unworthy of your spotless sacrifice. Lord Jesus, you came in the flesh to this earth and healed the lame. Since you live in my flesh, remove from me the crippling bitterness. You know that God wants your anger curbed. You know God wants you to make the best use of your time. You know that God wants you to love the scriptures and to abide in them. You know that God hates lustful thoughts and he wants your minds to be focused on good things and not on evil things. You know God's will. Pray that it be done in you. Have confidence and go before your Heavenly Father. God is ready and able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, because his power is at work in us. Pray, and you will see the power of Christ in the flesh, and you will be a witness like John. Since Call Day is around the corner, I wanted to talk about the elder and the elect lady from another angle. Listen to what John writes in chapter 3 of his gospel. John the Baptist is speaking, and he says this: "The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." I want all of you who are studying to be pastors, and those of you who already are, to remember this one thing. Always remember that the greatest joy you can possibly know in all of your ministry is the joy of being united with Christ, the joy of being a child of God, because Christ has made his home in you. So imitate John the Baptist by rejoicing to hear the voice of the bridegroom. Let that loving, grace-filled voice satisfy you completely, fill you up. Don't look for joy in the approval that you hope to receive from anyone else, not your congregation members, not your vicarage supervisor, not your senior pastor, your students. Gregory the Great has something to say about this. I'm writing my dissertation on Gregory the Great, and if you haven't read his book of Pastoral Rule, I highly recommend it. Gregory says this: "It is important that the spiritual director be vigilant that he is not assailed by a desire to please others. Or else, even though he might carefully penetrate spiritual matters and might expertly attend to the temporal needs of others, Still, he seeks the love of the laity more than he seeks the truth. Or supported by his good works and seeming by all accounts otherworldly, his love of self separates him from his Creator. For he is the enemy of the Redeemer, who through the good works that he performs desires to be loved by members of the church rather than by the Redeemer. For indeed, a servant is guilty of adulterous thoughts if he desires to please the eyes of the bride, when he is sent by the groom to offer gifts. Brothers, the lady belongs to her Lord and not to you. Our task is to promote the Lord. You are the Lord's wingman. You teach the lady how much the Lord loves her. You teach her how much he has done for her. You teach her that he gave up his life for her on the cross, and you teach her to love him in return. You teach her to pray to him. You teach her to trust in him. You teach her to love him and to seek his face. You show her how the Lord is preparing her for the last day and the final judgment, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, through whom all things were made, came to us in the flesh. He was born of Mary. He preached the gospel in the flesh throughout Judea and Galilee. He suffered in the flesh and died. He was raised bodily. He ascended in the flesh. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He still comes to us in the flesh in his supper. And he is coming in the flesh on the last day to judge the living and the dead. God grant each of us, like John the Baptist, the fullest measure of joy because Jesus has come to us, because he has united himself to us, because we are witnesses of his saving power. In Jesus' name, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.